The answer would be no.
Hello, everyone. Good morning.
Thank you, Tyler, for bailing out. This passage today a little bit is kind of a bit more more of an intimate message, and I think you'll know what I mean here in a few minutes. One of the most wonderful things about the Christian life is where the Lord pursues us and where we pursue Him. I think one of the most wonderful aspects in our relationship with Jesus is the way He calls us to come away with Him. Have you ever heard that call? Where the Lord says, come away with me, come be with me. I didn't put this in my notes, but I was thinking about, there are stories about the people who have, that are seamen, you know, they have the call of the sea. You know, that's what draws them. Not me, believe me, not to the sea. I have too many terrifying stories. But the people that are the call into the wild, you know, that find themselves at peace in nature. For me, there are times where the Lord has called me to just come and be, just come away and be with Him. In other words, to just sit before Him, to just be settled in His presence, to enjoy intimacy with Him. And what that means to me is to put everything else away and just purpose to think of and be in His presence. The rush and pressing of everything that surrounds us tells us to work harder, to go harder, to study more, to keep busy, whether it's in our work life or our social life or even our spiritual life. But Jesus says, come away with me. Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. His is a still small voice, just a whisper. Think about when Elijah was fleeing from Jezebel. He thought he was the only one left. In 1 Kings 19:11, he said, and this is God speaking in this instance, go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke into pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. When the Lord calls us to come away with Him, His call is gentle. It is a whisper. When He calls me away with Him, His call is quiet enough that I can easily dismiss it. I think about times when He has called me to get out of bed and come and be with Him. His call is so gentle, I could just roll over and go back to sleep. When I answer the call, what a sweet time of fellowship awaits. Another aspect of being called away is demonstrated by the story of Abraham. In Hebrews 11:8, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place where he was to receive an inheritance. He went out, not knowing where he was going. Abraham was called away to follow God. But the calling away I'm speaking of today is a call to intimacy with the Lord. I like the breakdown of the word intimacy, into me see. Into me see. I think that's what happens when we take time alone with the Lord. Both Him looking into us, but us looking into Him. While I was preparing, I was trying to remember a quote about how sitting in silence with someone is a test of intimacy. Sitting in silence with someone is a test of intimacy. I looked on the internet. I didn't find the quote I was looking for, but I ran into an article, and here's a partial quote I thought was helpful for the message today. In our fast-paced, hyper-connected world, silence can feel unnatural. Whether we're scrolling through social media or engaged in a conversation, we're used to constant stimulation. Quiet moments interrupt that rhythm, leaving us face to face with our thoughts. And sometimes that's the place we want to be. Silence often forces us to confront discomfort, whether it's awkwardness in the social interaction or deeper insecurities we'd rather avoid. And that's the end of the quote. It's interesting, I've been in many relationships where I felt like we had to fill the air the whole time. There really was no intimacy. Had to continually talk, and if there was any silence, it was awkward and very uncomfortable. Jesus desires intimacy with every one of his children. And I believe every believer in Jesus is called to come away with him, to be quiet, and just to come away with him. Sometimes it takes a tragedy to shock us into coming away with Jesus, to just fall at his feet, to just fall on our faces. I don't know, have you ever felt that? Just to fall on my face before the Lord, just to fall at his feet. I don't have any answers. I have no answers. Perhaps a sadness or a loss or even the remembrance of a traumatic event. Sometimes it's just because we don't know where to turn that we come and we fall at Jesus' feet, that we come to Jesus. At other times, we run to Jesus when great things happen, when we're overjoyed with something in our lives or those in our lives or our friends and family. So what does it mean to come away with Jesus in our day? I think this is personal. So each one of us has our own response. What you think is to come away and be with Jesus could be completely different than what I'm called to do. To me, it's to put away the technology and get on my face either figuratively or physically before the Lord. It could be for a few minutes or a few hours or days. Sometimes it takes the form of a nature walk for me. Other times I fast and pray. One time I went on a few day fasting and prayer camping trip. That's a story for another day where there were some wonderful things that occurred. Sometimes the purpose was for something I was praying about, trying to get God's answer to something that was on my heart. Other times the reason was just because God nudged me. I remember a time when I was out of work for 3.5 years. That was fun. Where the Lord just whispered, come away with me. There were many mornings where he just wanted me to sit quietly before him. The Lord healed many things within me during these special times. Actually, when I came back to work, I knew those times would end. It was very sad because the level of intimacy was going to end. The message I received was simple. The Lord wants to have an intimate time with me, his child. I remember one of the times my son Christian and I went for a backpacking weekend. The silence was deafening. We both were soaked up in the views as we sweated along the path. When it came time to set up camp, we both knew our jobs and just performed them quietly. It wasn't awkward or uncomfortable. It was one of the most intimate times with my son. We didn't need to say a word. We were on the same page. We both loved it and enjoyed the entire experience. One of our best experiences. We didn't need to fill the air with conversation. It was just a special time. Christian didn't need to worry about my love for him. He knew it and enjoyed it in silence. This is the kind of intimacy the Lord desires of me. To trust my Father in heaven. To trust my relationship with him and his love for me. We just passed Valentine's Day, which is a day to celebrate the love between you and your mate. This is a special day to talk and remember, to laugh and perhaps cry, to remember the good things as well as the bad. As believers, this is a day to celebrate what God has done in our marriage, with our children, our grandchildren. This is a time to recount the miracles of how God has done beyond anything we could think or ask or imagine. This is a time when we talk about things no one else could understand. Private jokes. This is a private time, an intimate time. This is a great picture of coming away to be with Jesus. We worship him and enjoy him and all that he's done for us and in us. We're naked before him. He knows it all. There's nothing he does not know about me. We have no secrets. Hebrews 4:13. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. And also in John 4, it says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You know, there's really no distance between us and God. He knows it all. But I think he loves it when he draws us away with a hard attitude and a hard intent to sit before him. Just sit before me. Just sit before me. Just put everything else away and sit before me. It's an interesting example when we look at Jesus. I mean, you know, being the Son of God and being in a whole lot better position than we are, he demonstrated the importance of coming away to be alone with God many times. Even Jesus needed to be alone with God. After healing and casting out demons in Mark 1:35, here's what it says. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, Everyone's looking for you. In Luke 5:15, But now, even more, the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places to pray. Luke 6:12, it says, In these days he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples and chose from them the 12, who he named apostles. So Jesus spent a lot of time praying and being alone with God. After John the Baptist was beheaded and the news came to Jesus, in Matthew 14:13, it says, Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. And just after that, he fed 5,000. It's clear that he was equipped by the times that he spent alone with God. Mark 6:30, the apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And then they went away in a boat to a desolate place by themselves. Matthew 14:22. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. Jesus could be found alone in desolate places praying to the Father. This is the Son, Jesus, the Son of God. Yet he needed alone time with the Father. How much more do we need time with our Heavenly Father? The next verse may be the most intimate prayer recorded from Jesus to the Father. Mark 14:36. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." And he came and found them sleeping. And Peter said, "Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again, he went away and prayed, saying the same words. Remember when Mary, the sister of Lazarus, chose the best thing as she sat at Jesus' feet? Martha was troubled with many things. Listen to Luke 10:40. Luke 10:40. "But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me alone to serve? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her.'" But working for God can take away our intimacy from the Lord. Mary, although with others in the house, was alone with Jesus. I can see her hanging on his every word, on his every expression, sitting at his feet. Mary was truly looking unto Jesus, or some would say, off looking unto Jesus. Nothing else around her mattered, just Jesus. In John 12:1, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came therefore to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table. I can't talk today for some reason. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" So for those who want to know, nard or spiked nard is actually sold by many essential oil producers. Check out the cost. $75 for 0.17 ounces. So that's about $7,000 per pound. So she poured out $7,000 of ointment on Jesus. That's pretty crazy. P.S. I'm going to order some. I got to check it out. I'm an essential oils crazy. What can I tell you? Mary, the sister of Lazarus, is a great example of one who is devoted to Jesus. Whenever he was near, she was spending time with him. She gave him her best. Another Mary, Mary Magdalene, is also an example of someone who is devoted to Jesus. John chapter 20, verse 1. "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark." Now that's devotion, right? "And saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one whom Jesus loved." In verse 11, "But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. She tried to cling on to the risen Lord. That's devotion. Mary went to the tomb early in the morning, before it was light, to tend to the body of her Lord. When Jesus made himself known to her, she wanted nothing more than to cling to him. She wanted to hold on to him. This is the attitude the Lord desires from each of us. Jesus wants intimacy from you and from me. And we need a touch by him. I need a touch by him. Matthew 11:28. I'm going to buy some tissues. Anyway. Matthew 11:28. "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That's what the Lord wants from us, to come to him, to let him take our burdens. I want to back up a couple verses. At verse 25, it says, "At that time, Jesus declared, 'I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth.'" Thank you. Hey, guys, come on. More. Bring them up. One, three chance.
This is how much you're going to cry.
Hey, don't tempt me. Thanks a lot, guys. "At that time, Jesus declared, 'I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden,'" this is crazy, "'that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except for the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him.'" These are things that are hidden from the wise. I don't think it's very wise, probably, to be, you know, from a world standpoint, to be called away. Come, what are you talking about? You know, come be with me. Jesus says, come be with me. Come away with me. Doesn't make any sense from a worldly standpoint. I like the following passages that illustrates one way of hearing from the Lord. Now, we all know the story of Samuel, the boy Samuel. So Samuel 3, beginning in verse 1. "Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called to Samuel, and he said, 'Here I am,' and ran to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.' But he said, 'I did not call. Lie down again.' So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, 'Samuel.' And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' But he said, 'I did not call, my son. Lie down again.' Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. I'm going to stop there for just a second for the little ones here. The Lord can speak to you. And if he speaks to you, your answer is, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." For all of us, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." And the Lord came and stood, calling out as other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I'm about to do a thing in Israel at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. Speak, for your servant hears." This is a good instruction for us all. "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." Listening for God's voice and setting our attention to hear what he is saying. Galatians is an amazing lesson from Paul. And in chapter 1, I'm just going to read a portion of it. But here's Paul, probably one of the most learned people of his day. Brilliant. A brilliant man of God. A brilliant man with tremendous wisdom. With tremendous knowledge. Here's what it says. "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel." All right, guys. I'll be back. Okay. "For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ." A revelation of Jesus Christ. "For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. But when he who had set me apart before I was born, and who called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me, in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went away to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas and remained with him 15 days, etc. Here's where I want to make the point here. What happened when Paul saw Jesus? What happened when Jesus knocked him off the horse and he had the revelation? He went away for 3 years. He didn't go and hang out with all the apostles. He went away for 3 years. And I believe what happened during those 3 years is that he unlearned a whole lot of what he thought he knew. And then the Lord gave him revelation. I believe God gave him revelation knowledge, which reoriented everything he thought he knew before. Paul took time alone with Jesus 3 years before emerging. 3 years. I believe his desire is to reorient us to him as well, to his truth, to what really matters. Some say the Christian life is one of unlearning as much as it is learning. I can see this in Paul's 3 years away. Philippians 3:1. "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. Look out for the dogs. Look out for evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ and put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law a Pharisee, as to zeal persecuting the church, as to righteousness under the law blameless. But whatever gain I had, I count loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them all as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and may share in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, that by any means possible I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. That's Paul's view. Everything else is worthless. Spending time with Jesus is what matters. Spending a life for Jesus. Intimacy with Jesus means peace. It means true knowledge. And it means true rest. For Paul to count everything else as lost for the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus is the message to keep on our hearts. Amen. Thoughts? Revelations? More tissues? Well, my prayer and my hope, and we'll pray in a moment, is that one, that this message has maybe spoken to you in a certain way, that maybe when those moments come where the Lord says, come away with me, that you'll go, that you'll spend time before Him. It's the only antidote to the problems that we all face, is to come away and just be with Him, sit before Him, be intimate with Him. All right, let's pray.
Okay, I had something.
Yeah.
I couldn't find it, but I was looking for that. I think it was King David in one of the Psalms where it says, and he refreshed himself in the Lord.
Yeah.
You remember that?
I do.
I think that's kind of what you're getting at.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I'm not a computer person, but I know those computers need to be refreshed.
Control Alt Delete is usually what's necessary. Restart it. Yeah, the screen refreshes.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
60 times a minute per second.
But I think as believers, we need that time that you're sharing to refresh ourselves in the Lord.
Yeah. Amen.
And I was going to add, thank you for the reminder. We can be with Him. We can be in His Word. And go about our day, but really not get along with Him.
Mm-hmm.
Of that,
Mary, she was in a crowd. But she was in her, I can see the picture. There was nobody else getting her attention. And I think it's awesome for the kids. It's like the Lord speaks to everyone, and they can get the word as easily as the rest of us. Maybe easier sometimes to hear the word of the Lord. Lately I've just really had that on my heart He's been calling me just to come and spend time, sit before me, get refreshed. That was a good word, Ken. Get refreshed. Father, we thank you. Lord Jesus, we thank you. And we ask, Lord, that we would have listening ears to be able to hear your still small voice, that we would look for you, Lord, that we would just come and be comfortable to sit before you, to receive all that you want to give us, to change us, to correct our thinking, to reaffirm, Lord, that you love us. We're your children, and you want good things for us. So we thank you, Lord, for this time this morning. I pray, Lord, that those words that you wanted to have spoken, Lord, would be received, and that we would all be able to leave encouraged and thoughts closer to you. I pray your blessing upon this day, Lord, now, and for each one here, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.